world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covet moves for expanding its sphere of influence. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. These preparations are concealed, not publicized. The stakes are buried, not headlined. Its percentages are silent, not praised.
Billions of people just living out their lives, oblivious. Choice is an illusion created between those with power and those without.
I drink your milkshake! I drink it up!
Thank you, John Larson. I receive your kind words on behalf of all of our courageous members of the House of Representatives who want the best for the American people. And what we can do that is best for them in the next 24 hours is to pass affordable, accessible health care for all Americans. The best for all Americans is to have 32 million more people to have health insurance in our country.
Oh.
The best for...
Piece of stinking filth.
Shh, sitting in shop. This is AJ of the InfoWars. Listen to the Shaliak. This is Alex Jones of InfoWars. Listen to Shaliak on the Cold Reality News and Report.
This is the coolest thing I have ever seen.
Well, hello there!
This week on Cold Reality Radio, the state of the economy, the real economy, with Greg and Clint. In addition to that, Ted Cruz steals another voterless primary. Saudi Arabia threatens to liquidate its treasury holdings if Congress probes its role in the 9/11 attacks. Trump's foreign policy alarms the world. It's been so stellar so far. NATO, Trump says, is obsolete. No, that's the World Army. You can't get rid of that. Man buys front row ticket at Major League Baseball game to show sign that shows taxation is theft. While everything goes to shit on Earth, DARPA receives funding for the next phase to weaponize outer space. Ron Paul, close relative of Barack Obama, says U.S. elections are rigged, voting simply used to pacify the public or the sheeple. Commoners, subjects, you know, that's you. Ecuador, Japan, rocked by earthquakes. 15 Saudi hijackers were CIA agents working for the U.S. The CIA is also investing in firms that mine your tweets and Instagram photos. How sweet. The U.S. plans to give more weapons to Al-Qaeda-linked moderate rebels in Syria. How sweet. More gifts. More death, more killing. Gotta fight the terrorists. Gotta get them. Gotta get them. Gotta get them. Report exposes flaws in link shorteners that reveal sensitive info about users and track their offline movements. The revolt of the death slaves has started. Pentagon chief to sail aircraft carrier through disputed South China Sea. Hey, let's just start a world war that's already begun. German beast Angela Merkel caves to Turkish pressure, authorizes criminal probe against a comic. Science guy Bill Nye, an establishment douchebag, says, let's discuss criminalization and criminalizing climate deniers. What a nice man, Bill Nye, the science guy. Okay, welcome to Cold Reality Radio here on the... This mic is hot, baby. This mic is hot. All right, so let me bring that up a little there. And... all right, so the judge also rules that Newtown family's lawsuits against the gun makers can go forward. Yeah. Belgian minister resigns in Brussels airport security row. Says the Jacqueline Gallant stepped down on Friday after coming under significant pressure from opposition parties to say what she knew about two reports from the European Commission that criticized the lax security at the Belgian airport. A student wearing empty holster cited for threatening the safety of the campus. Invisible gun. They're invisible now. Stop them. They're invisible. They're going to shoot us with an invisible gun. Stop them, Obama. Study says junk food kills a bacteria, a critical bacteria that protects against obesity, heart disease, and cancer. Time magazine, globalist rag, says, how Obamacare is fueling America's opioid epidemic. Oh, conspiracy theorists were right. Mega bank admits to rigging global gold and silver markets. There's no conspiracies. Hey, let's go to the ball game this Friday. Hey, we're at the ball game. Conspiracy. Hey, let's go get some ice cream. Hey, we're having ice cream right now. Conspiracy. Everything's a conspiracy. It's just that some are good, like ice cream, and some are bad, like staged terror attacks. Let's see what else we got here. As I said, today we're going to be talking about the real economy with Greg and Clint. So they'll be coming on at the bottom of the hour here on Sunday, April 17th. Don't forget to pay your taxes, slave. Get out there, mail it. If you can't make the payment, you got up to October the 15th to get it done, folks. Focuses. So just get it done. Pay your taxes so that Obama drones can kill more children over in the war theater that never will end. But, you know, the American people just condone it all. They just condone the death. I wonder if they'll condone when the death starts here. I wonder if they'll condone the death when it starts here. I bet you they will. I bet you they will. What did he do? Oh, he said bad things about the government. Well, he should have been killed. He should have been killed. Because you don't say bad things about the gubernamente. The gubernamente. So, I figured I'd start the program off today with a happy little song, a little mellow thing there, a little instrumental for your mind, instrumente all. And over the last number of weeks, last week we had Clint hosting Cole Reality Radio with Patrick Jordan of vaccinefraud.com. Incredible information, incredible research from people who care. You know, you hear that on television a lot, a news team that cares. Well, goddamn it. If Clint was on a news program and I was watching it on there and Patrick Jordan was the medical advisor there, I would say, now that's a news team you can trust, god damn it. Because they would tell you the truth. But what? You can't tell the truth on television because it's bought and paid for by the people that are enslaving you. That's right.
Oh, yeah, that's bullshit, man. America's free, man. You get to go to the ball game, and you get to pay your taxes, and you get roads, and they fill the potholes and junk, man. America's great, man. How dare you? How dare you say such things? People have fought and died for this country.
No, people have fought and died for this corporation. People have fought and died for banking and banking families that have benefited from both sides of every conflict that has ever been. And they murdered your family members. They murdered them. They murdered them and they pocketed the money for it. And they don't give a shit. The VA scandal is proof fucking positive that they don't give a shit about the veterans. They're letting them die because they created killers. They created killers. And now they don't want those killers turning on their masters who sent them over there to kill. And now they're letting them die and giving them toxic fucking shots like they did the day that they fucking joined and went overseas. Got toxic fucking shots to test these chemicals on your loved ones. And that is fact. Not theory. And if you don't believe me, go fuck yourself. In a nice way. I won't tax you if you don't believe me. KCP.
KC.
So, to my utter surprise, and I guess not in this day and age, with the deception being so large and so in your face, that you would see a 60 Minutes clip, which is just another arm of this degenerative news system, or fake news, if you will, where members of the 9/11 Commission are saying now that Saudi Arabia basically did 9/11 and helped 9/11 come about. So we see that, and I realize that there's, you know, things that I should probably be very, very aware of, because as the can gets kicked down the road, the can of deception, you're going to start seeing shit like this. And of course, what does Saudi Arabia say now? They're going to threaten to liquidate the treasury holdings. Okay. All right. So, on Drudge, it was, they're threatening to liquidate the treasury holdings if a bill is passed to investigate. So, it's gone into another gear. And of course, it was an inside job and an outside job. Because globalism, dude, it's globalism. That's what globalism is. It's bringing America down to the level of the rest of the world. That's what globalism is. That's what globalism's always been. This whole show is run by banks, and those banks are owned and controlled by families, and their family members are in Hollywood movies, folks. Your Matt Damons and your Ben Afflecks and your Christian Bales and your Gwyneth Paltrows and all these people that you see, with the exception of maybe a small percentage of them, they were just too hot and too giving to be turned down for a role. And then, of course, everybody wanted to see more, so you give the sheep what the sheep want. You give the sheep what the sheep want. And so, Saudi Arabia is also, where did we see this? I think it was in one of these other articles over here on blacklistednews.com. Here goes another article written on the 60 Minutes. 60 Minutes, lawmakers say redacted pages of 9/11 report show Saudi official met hijackers in Los Angeles. They met. Hey, what's up? Hey, we're going to teach you how to fly. We're going to teach you how to fly in junk, right? Honey Hanoor. Hey, honey, come over here. You're going to do like this plane. You're going to fly this plane, right? And then you're going to do this maneuver that would make 100% of jets just totally stall out in the middle of the sky, and you would fall straight into the ground. But you're going to do that, and it's totally not going to stall. It's totally not. So, cool, bruh. Cool, bruh. Bruh. Goldman Sachs will pay $5 billion for fraudulent sales of toxic debt. No one will go to jail. No one will go to jail. No one will go to jail. That's right. That's right. Only you go to jail for committing man-made crimes. They run free because they've got $100 billion fucking dollars that they can. Oh, here's $5 billion. Oh, sorry. We sell toxic debt. Sorry. We're not going to jail because we're fucking garbage. That's protected by filth and garbage that's even filthier and more garbagey than we are. See? See? High number of retaliation complaints by exonerated TSA whistleblowers. All right. Oh, man, it just goes on and on and on. Let's just go down the list, shall we? Surely. DARPA receives funds for the next phase to weaponize space while Earth goes to shit and people are dying down here. Again, 15 Saudi hijackers were CIA agents working for the U.S., scholar says. Russian officials raid offices of billionaire whose newspaper published the Panama Papers that exposed, you know, what's his face, Cameron, that ass nugget over there, that big friggin' queer for the queen, queer for the queen. All right, what else we got? Alleged Brussels terrorist was star of documentary about successful integration of immigrants. Now accused of murder and captured on CCTV. Uber admits it gave data on 12 million users to the U.S. government. That's great, man. This guy, man, he drives with me like 7 days a week, man. I think you might want to know this. I mean, I think you want some information on this guy. Mr. Uber. Let me see. Smile in my face one more time. Cop terrorizes child on school bus for not worshiping him. Oh, in Pittsburgh. The incident highlights the modern reality in public schools where blue-clad soldiers of law with badges and guns are a normal, everyday presence. In the video uploaded to Facebook, an unidentified police officer stalks down the aisle of a school bus, directed his rage at a student in the back who performed the outrageous act of smiling. How dare you? How dare you smile? There's nothing to smile about in America. Of course, the CIA is also investing in firms that mine your tweets and your Instagram photos. 10 ways of playing outside will make your kids smarter. Yeah. Video games. I don't want to go out and play. I just want to sit here, eat garbage, toxic food, and play video games where I shoot my friend in the face. Yeah, that's cool. I like that. I'm just going to sit here all day and shoot my friend in the face, and then I'll play some Madden. You know, I'll play some Madden, and then we'll catch footballs, and we'll tackle each other and be like, yeah, that was good. That was a great tackle, man. Hey, next week we'll jerk off to the NFL draft. Okay. Shadowy conference of nationwide SWAT teams to feature notorious anti-Muslim crusader. That's right. That's over at blacklistednews.com. And of course, the U.S. plans to give more weapons to Al-Qaeda, you know, the people that, you know, flew planes into the buildings, so they say. Going to give more. The U.S. is not intervening in Syria, according to the Wall Street Journal, another globalist rag. The CIA has drawn up plans to provide more powerful weapons to the so-called moderate Syrian rebels if the current truce in Syria collapses, right? They're going to make that they're going to make it collapse, okay? Okay, because this cannot – these plans must go forth. And like Libya – Syria will be the jihadi wonderland, the jihad wonderland that everyone has explained that Libya is. So it's just all bullshit, and it's bad for you. Saudi Arabia threatens to liquidate its treasury holdings. That's right. Back in January, when the market was watching it in shocked silence as oil prices were crashing to decade lows, and as concerns emerge that Saudi Arabia may need to commence selling its vast, if unquantified, U.S. Dollar reserves, we wrote a post titled, Attention Finally Turns to Saudi Arabia's Secret U.S. Treasury Holdings. Okay? But not so secret anymore, because unless it's, you know, more deception and more ridiculousness. But it's all, I mean, this is all a movie that's being played for you. And, you know, they could have said like 5 years ago, okay, at some point we're going to blame you and your leadership here for 9/11. And then at that point, you will threaten to destroy the global economy. And that will be perfect because we'll be taking ships and sending them through the, you know, the China, you know, the South China Sea, and then they'll get all pissed because there's like ships down there, and then you'll have your Pacific Coast War, you'll have your European with Russia, all that stuff that's going on, which is another staged event, I'm sure, and then you'll have your Middle Eastern jihadi wonderland. Red Sea deal. Are Israel and Saudi Arabia forming a joint military? You bet they are. You bet. You bet. You bet. They are. Because they've always been. They've always been. And they always will be. In cahoots. As my dear mom used to say, oh, they're in cahoots. They're in cahoots, baby. Ron Paul. Rand Paul, fifth cousins with Obama, so I guess Ron Paul must be, what, six or seven? Most people are discovering that the system is all rigged and voting is just pacification. Three-time presidential candidate Dr. Ron Paul said that U.S. elections said that in an interview with RT Nightmarica. Anyway, just run through the list of stories over at Blacklisted News in, my friend Doug Owen over there does his Blacklisted Radio Sundays. So check it out. You can see his, podcast, listen to his podcast over there. And what else we got here? Yeah, but, science guy Bill Nye, obviously part of the entire system getting his funding from the people, same people that are pushing the climate lie, wants to criminalize the deniers. And then, of course, she'll be killed and everybody will be okay with it because, you know, you don't care about the planet, so you should die. Right? Isn't that how it goes? When you get collectivized in a group, superbugs on track to kill more people than cancer. But they don't tell you that these superbugs are being created. So, and of course, as I said, junk food kills bacteria that protects against obesity, heart disease, and cancer. Not only is there the opioid epidemic, but then there's a painkiller epidemic that Big Pharma is right at the heart of. And, of course, government, too. Jebby Bush down in, I forget what county it is, in Florida, but just an absolute epicenter there of painkiller deaths and an underground economy that sells these painkillers to people and they get addicted. Obviously, there's something else in there. Okay, so I'm going to pull in my guest today. So let me start by adding Mr. Richardson, or I can't say, not Mr. The Man, Clint the Man. Gonna bring him in, and then gonna get Greg here. Where are you? There you are. Gonna add Greg to the call. And we're gonna get started talking about the real economy. The real economy, not the fake one, the artificial one that we see every day. What can you do? All right, Clint, who's there? Everybody there? Hello. Hello. There goes CR. And then going to Greg here. Where are you? There you are. Going to add Greg to the call. I'm hearing my voice. Clint, we got you?
Greetings.
Greetings. Good morning. So I see that little Skype line, that little white dot that rises up through the picture there for Greg. So anyway, Greg will pop on in a second. Clint, good morning. Thanks for being here on Cold Reality Radio this morning on UCY.
After all of that, you're saying it's good morning?
Well, you know what? At some point, you just gotta let go. I mean, it's been a long time since I actually did one of those diatribes in the morning. So, I kind of have to let it build up and then just kind of like let it out. And
let's make people feel better. Oh, it's so much worse than that.
It is so much worse than that because I'm not a good researcher. I try.
On the surface, let's not get into anything deep or anything.
Jeez. Right, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Then you think to yourself, why would Time Magazine be accusing Obamacare of fueling America's opioid epidemic? So everybody's just kind of, it looks like everybody's fighting, like all, like America now is, you know, the 9/11 commission back then, like 60% of them said that there needs to be a new investigation. This was 2002 or three or something, that there needed to be another investigation because things weren't adding up. And here we are now that it gets to 60 minutes and, nobody's mentioned anything about Israel about it, but hey, whatever. You know, they.
Listen, you could boil this whole thing down to one very simple statement. Mm-hmm. You are seeing nothing more and nothing less than the growing pains of a world that is being, you know, all of its nations are being forced together under one essential religion, which is a state religion, it's a secular religion, not a real religion.
Right.
And under one economy. So you're seeing basically the growing pains of a world government being sort of put together like a really fucked up puzzle.
Exactly. We see so many, we have crisis after crisis after crisis that is created and has been created for years now that's been part of the plan. And, you know, you're going to have to break some eggs, just like 3,000 people dying in at 9/11. You got to, if you want to make a world government egg omelet, you're going to have to break about 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 eggs. And I'm sorry to say it that way, but, you know, people just don't understand. They have this childlike mindset that they just believe that you know, they just can't allow themselves to understand that the world is it's not all evil, but the evil that is in place has all the fucking money. Because they set it up that way. See?
Let's not forget the source of money.
That's right.
Which is fiction.
Which is fictional, that's right.
We're talking, I mean, we are playing, we're respecting all of this, right? So our respect for it, mm-hmm. our love for it, our belief that it exists as something of value and that everything we see has a value in money, including men and animals and everything else we can possibly think of. That's the problem. The problem is that we're not acting in charity. We're not doing anything right, according to any religion out there. And so we're sitting here talking and debating and discussing and arguing and even fighting and killing each other over something that technically doesn't even exist. It's a fictional story. It's like we're fighting over, you know, the story of King Arthur, whether Arthur was this or that. It's a pointless endeavor, and yet it's used to control us all. And that's that in and of itself, to me, when you say it's evil or when you say it's whatever, that's the evil. Evil is our actual belief in the artifice. Everything that's artificial is what is controlling us. That, to me, is the most amazing feat in the history of man that has ever been used to destroy our natural tendencies, to take us away from our source, and to just absolutely control us through fiction. That's amazing. Well, think about how many people out there are broadcasting right now talking about money, talking about the quote-unquote economic collapse, talking about this company, and none of it's fucking real. It's not real. And that is what we focus on. That is amazing to me. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's it takes on, obviously, it takes on a life of its own, a fiction, anything, just like a lie that's not even true. It can go down the street, and by the time it comes back, it's got all other kinds of things attached to it. So we have Clint Richardson, one-time host of Corporation Nation, and a documentary filmmaker about vaccines, about the true nature of, you know, that we are a corporation, we are a global corporation, the CAFR, the financial report that shows all these things and all this corruption is going on. And so thankful that we have Clint here today. And Greg, we have Greg. I hear him in the background there.
Yes, I'm here, guys. Good morning.
Greg is in production and processing of oil. And and he is also delving into the technology field with with regards to applications and everyone having an app, if you're anybody in this world or any kind of business or whatever, in the fiction that everything is, you better have that app. And Greg's been delving into that too. So oil processing and production, which has been taking a massive hit. Greg's going to talk about that today. And, Clint has a fine grasp of this money and the fictionality of it and how it controls us mainly. And basically, when you know what he knows about it, you understand the economy. And then Greg on the other side working, on Wall Street and dealing in that particular arena for years. So we've got a nice little click here of
the fiction.
Right. So welcome, gentlemen, and everybody out there. Just enjoy. So talking with Greg last week, emergency meetings at the White House with Barry Dunham, a.k.a. Barack Obama, and Janet Yellen, and a bunch of these other bloodsuckers. And what does this signify? What's happening? What does that mean when they have these emergency meetings?
Well, it means that things are in serious trouble. One, the fiction that is the dollar. I've heard that the Chinese new SWIFT banking system comes online in a couple of days on the 19th. I don't know if that's true or not, but I've been reading about that they've tested their system, which could replace the U.S. dollar or at least start the process rolling where the U.S. dollar is no longer the world's reserve currency. I don't know how successful it will be, but maybe that's what it was about. That could cause people to get out of the dollar, force people to sell the fictitious bonds that they have, particularly U.S. Treasury notes around the world, and which would create even though we know it's fiction, it would create a great deal of pain here. It would cause a massive inflation. Dollars would flood into the U.S., and so we would see the prices of everything just go through the roof, I mean, very, very quickly. It'd be like something we haven't seen, but we've never seen before here. It's never happened here before.
So I guess when I hear things like this and I hear that the Pentagon chief wants to, kind of get the ships into the South China Sea, now – we look at this and we say, does this mean that we have a war coming? Because usually financial problems and financial crisis.
Oh, well, we have a war coming.
The war's already started, right? I mean,
we have a real war coming. I mean, people talk about that. The time for blowing up, blowing up things and killing people, we're right around the corner from that. I think it happens sometime next year. Okay. I don't see it because that's just history. This is what they've done. They do this all the time. This is the origin of all of our wars. Not the fight for independence. It was who's going to be left paying the debts. Right. And they know that we aren't going to be able to pay the debts. We're the unfunded liability. We're the surety to cover the debts of these guys. And so that's why they ran up the debts on everybody. They ran up the debts on all of the countries out there. Because so that all of the people are equally going to spread the pain. It's not just going to be citizens of the United States that are going to be the unfunded liabilities that get terminated. It's the unfunded liabilities in Japan, in China, in Russia, and all throughout Europe. I think they're going to go with a hot war that's going to wipe out half the population.
You think it's going to be nuclear, Clint? Or at this point, does it even matter?
How does it matter, really?
As Greg has pointed out, so... so controversially, the what does that mean to be nuclear, or as Bush says it, nuclear?
Nuclear.
What does that mean? That means that they have planted bombs in a secure location, grounded with a lot of cement or whatever, to make sure that it can actually take hold do the damage it does. So it's not like, I mean, if you're saying it's nuclear, then yeah, they would be bombs that are planted, already. So it's sort of like the 9/11 thing. The bombs are already there, right? I don't know. I don't think that doesn't make sense to me, honestly.
That could wipe out a considerable amount of people.
Wiping out infrastructure. Why would you have a bunch of slaves build you infrastructure and then just destroy it? It doesn't really make. But I mean,
it could be activating the prions in our brains and do it that way. I don't think the nuclear weapons exist. I think they've been used as a propaganda boogeyman. I'm not a nuclear physicist or scientist, but the people that I know who are have told me that they do not. You cannot get the required nuclear reaction in a state of inertia, which means that if the nuclear weapons do exist, they have to be stationarily built. And, we have been building them, so who knows? So
here's my take on it. I like, Patrick Jordan always said, quit thinking in any other terms than what it is the problem. So let's take the what's the problem to these people, okay? First of all, they've created a system of public-mindedness where they've dumbed us down to the point where we're intolerable to them and pretty much to ourselves. So what do we have here? Let's look at the source of the problem. It's a biological problem, right? We're not machines. We're not bombs. We are biological entities. If you have a biological problem, then you're probably going to need a biological solution. Remember, solution is end of contract, or in our case, end of our life. So I would go more towards a biological solution to the problem of population than anything else. And looking at all of these vaccines and all of these different forms and modes of killing us that I've uncovered, that would be my personal. I wouldn't look for bombs. I would look for, what's the latest? The Zika virus?
Zika, right.
Now starting up, it's coming up the East Coast. Yeah, these things are, it's a biological problem. And if you have a biological problem, you generally look for a biological solution. That's all I'm saying.
I think that what's going to happen is that they can probably distribute biological weapons via some warhead that might be thought of as nuclear, but is not. But then they can do some damage in specific areas around the world to bring those in that might not be, part of the, of the collective mindset that the New World Order mindset, so that they can use that, maybe distribute things that way. But I think that it would. I think they've got I think they have that weapon already, from listening to Patrick and Clint, it seems like it's definitely binary, and it just needs these. It's a puzzle, and that's what I talk when I deal with computers. You'll see something. You'll see like a little bit of the little piece of code gets in past the virus protection. And then the next little piece gets in because it doesn't see it as a virus because it hasn't created that code yet to be able to fight that virus. And then that piece of that puzzle starts building and building and building. And then once it gets in there, then you start getting the porn pop-ups or then you start getting different pop-ups and things like that. So I think these biological weapons are definitely binary, and Patrick and Clint's research has showed that largely it is, especially with the prions being activated by, frequencies and/or what is that, where they look at the children, they look at the child and the what kind of
I think you got to look at the problem for what it is. And really, as far as biological weapons go, the weapons, as far as I understand it, are already inside of us. It's just a matter of activating.
That's right. The prion agenda. So we're looking at all these things. I mean, we're looking at over in one of these articles here shows that I think somewhere in China or something where people are fighting back over the HPV, the human papilloma virus, vaccine. And, you know, you don't see any of that stuff here. We know that it's that those that particular vaccine started people, but you don't see this here, right? De Niro finally speaks out about vax. People should see it. There's a link to autism. Patrick, in one of his emails within the last couple of days, it said De Niro is part of this. You know, the reason why he's an actor in Hollywood is because he's part of this. You know, he's probably
one of the best-selling author of Rich Dad Poor.
That's okay. Patrick puts the, you know, says, okay, this sounds like it's a good thing. It sounds like something's being done. We could be coming to a realization that Big Pharma and these vaccines are bad, but what's the real plan? What's the real, like, what's going on in the background? We've spoken many times. We talk about the end game that we see kind of happening because we become aware to know that there is a not a benevolent but a malevolent force out there in the banking families, just the wars, the stuff that's been going on. We know that 9/11 was just an absolute lie. And but then again, it opened up. It provided the key to get into get into other areas of the world to keep this agenda going. Just like Clark, the general, said in 2007, where he said they're going into, after he visited the Pentagon, they're going into like 5 or 7 countries in the next 5 years, or say, you know, I think it was more like 10 years, but. Or even more, but what do we see happening? I mean, we know that we have these elites. Greg's spoken about. There's just like we have families here. We have private citizens here, landowners that have pure title on the land. Why would they, like Clint said, why would they blow up their infrastructure? This is their land. This is probably where they're gonna. That they're going to need to stay, but they also have these underground bunkers, which we know exist as well. So somewhere along the line, there's probably going to be some, whether it's nuclear or not, there's going to be some kind of exchange of something. It'll probably have some binary biological.
Well, they got to make it look good.
Yeah.
Would Greg agree with me that they don't? Hardly even need to defend themselves anymore. That we've been put on this sort of automated system. Our money is now going cashless. That's the big push now. Even things like what's this replacement for taxis called
Uber?
Uber, yes.
Uber. The advertisements that I see are, hey, the cashless way to. Take a taxi, basically. So everything I see now is going towards that cashless notion. Money's so dangerous, you have to carry it around. Would you guys agree with me that these guys hardly even need to protect themselves anymore? They're so arrogant at this point because they know that we're so busy fighting amongst ourselves, whether it's their own created false race wars or that whatever it is, they've got us prepping against what? Not them, us. We got all these different shows, your Walking Deads and your, you know, all these different shows that are about, you got this huge zombie threat around, but the real threat is your fellow man, right?
Okay.
Everything is about us turning on each other, but never against, I never see anybody, never see anything about turning against the creators of this mess, the masters, just the puppet masters. No one ever seems to do anything about that. But as far as what the real danger is, of course, it's your fellow man. It's your fellow slave, right? They don't really need to worry about themselves. They've got us fighting against each other. I think we're going to take each other out.
That's true, too. I mean, you look at Trump, you look at Sanders, supposedly on the opposite side of the aisle. They're both saying you're being taken advantage of. They're stealing from you. Trump's saying now, you know, you're being disenfranchised. your freedom, your franchise freedom's being taken away. And And so you've got this on both sides now, and you know, it's not a coincidence that it's not a coincidence that it's happening, and they're there, and they are whatever they think they're doing. What's happening is it's dividing the public even more. Violence, you're seeing the violence at the events, and you're polarizing the public even more than it was before. And like Clint said, it's you know, we're fighting each other, and we don't and the thing is that the puppet masters don't exist, because you talk to people about it. You say all of these presidents are related. All of these presidents are part of a bloodline. They can't even believe that. They can't even believe that covertly families have figured out a way to make us think that we're free while electing their own family members and getting their own family into movies so they can say, oh, look there. I mean, the more and more people I see every day, I see the Emily Blunts, I see all these people, I say, they're fucking royal blood, you know? And of course, thanks to Clint and his research and his hours and hours and hours of research on genealogy, that right there is enough evidence to prove that, you know, that we're dominated by, you know, a relatively small percentage of the population.
The trick was to put us into a state where we have a public vote, right? So we have one voice. It's not individual voices. We have one voice. We're a body politic. We're an incorporated nation. So we have one vote, even though we're all voting individually, and they call that the popular vote. By the end of the vote, we have a popular vote. It is a single vote for this candidate or this candidate. Of course, they're both cousins. They're both, you know, either one that is elected is just fine with these people, according to the popular vote. But that's not the actual vote. That's just the popular vote. That's like a poll. And they actually call us polls. As individuals, we are called polls. So when they say they're polling us at the polls where we go and we vote, well, that we are polls. That's actually the name given. You look that up for yourself. There's polls and there's stirps, STRIPES, which are the bloodstock, right? And we're all we're livestock, living stock. Just, you know, I talked about the word people. When you put cows on a farm, you're peopling the farm. That's the proper use of the word people. So it's you got to know that it's not so much that they've tricked us into not seeing what they are. It's that they've tricked us into voting. They've actually tricked us into voting for our masters, for who's going to pull our strings. That's the much more impressive thing, that we don't have the due diligence or knowledge that the elections are a total fraud, that they're just polling us to see who the public is going to accept, but that they can change that if they want to. The Electoral College is who actually puts the cousin up there, you know. So that's the real fantastic trick to me, is that they got us to actually do a vote where none of our voices actually count individually. It's only the final verdict. And of course, you're voting between two parts of the same turd.
That's right. And you see, I mean, this is the first year that I've ever heard this superdelegate term, which means that, okay, well, they're delegates, so now let's just give another name, just like they renamed Al-Qaeda to Al-Nusra and then to ISIS and ISIL. So they just rename it when they know that people are getting close to understanding, or if that's even possible. But they'll say, oh, it's a superdelegate. You know, like they were bitten by some kind of, you know, bug, and now they're like radioactive or something. They're superdelegates.
The word super, when you use it in any form, means higher than or superior to. So if you're a superdelegate, then you've got some power beyond what is quote unquote natural or what is established. So if I'm calling someone a superdelegate, I'm saying that I've corrupted the already corrupt system even more. If I'm supernatural, I'm above nature. If I'm super this, I'm above whatever it is. If I say superdelegate, I'm saying that I've created the ultimate corruption. I mean, I've literally taken something that's established and made it into something even more corrupt and more powerful. That's, I mean, why do, except that,
Which is why, yeah. Which is why Hillary has pretty much all the that she needs now to be. I mean, I saw these numbers and I'm like, how does she have all this? And then you just say she's a vile, a vicious beast who is in the favor of these elites.
She's a super candidate.
She's a super candidate.
Well, so let's, yeah, right. She's a Clinton. What else do you
think? She is. She's, yeah.
No, she's super Clinton.
Let's take this on in a real sense here, though. Let's take the action. I mean, if I were to ask you guys, because you can only ask who do you want to be president, you can really only say, do you want the Republican or the Democrat? I mean, there's really no other option if we're real with ourselves. Of course, I should be president, and Greg should be my vice president, and Charlie should be my Secretary of State, but that's not going to happen. So if we look at who the choices are, we've got Trump and we've got these other guys. And if I were to ask you who should be president out of these characters, that what would be your answer? And see, my answer would be Trump. And I want to tell you why. See, this is where people just absolutely don't think. I remember early in the debate, they were saying, well, what, Trump shouldn't be president because he's look at his company record. Look how many bankruptcies he's gone through. Look at he's declared bankruptcy this many times, and look at his corporations. He's done this, he's done. And I'm like, you fools. Here's a guy who actually has gone through bankruptcy, knows how to manipulate the system and all of the politicians around him, knows how to throw money, one of the things he said in his debates is like, all these guys running for president have my money in their pockets, right? He's bought them all in the previous campaigns or previous things that he's had to do in the private sector, right? So we know that Trump has literally told us that everybody he's running against is one politician that he has bought off. They say, well, you've gone through bankruptcy. You've gone through bank street. Let me read you something here. This is if you type into any search engine the bankruptcy of the United States, let's read this. This is the United States Congressional Record. This is the reason that Mr. Traficant, James Traficant, went to jail. This is the real reason. Because he got up in Congress and he was very honest. United States Congressional Record in March 17th, 1993. This is volume 33, page H1303 of that congressional record. Here's what he started out the speech with. He says, Mr. Speaker, we are here now in Chapter 11. Members of Congress are official trustees presiding over the greatest reorganization of any bankrupt entity in the world, the U.S. government. We are setting forth, hopefully, a blueprint for our future. There are some who say it is a coroner's report that will lead to our demise. It is an established fact that the United States federal government has been dissolved by the Emergency Banking Act, March 9, 1933, 48 Statute 1, Public Law, 89719, declared by President Roosevelt being bankrupt and insolvent. HJR, House Joint Resolution 192, 73rd Congress, in session June 5th, 1933, joint resolution to suspend the gold standard and abrogate the gold clause, dissolved the sovereign authority of the United States and the official capacities of all United States governmental offices, officers, and departments, and is further evidence that the United States federal government exists today in name only. But let me say the important part again. Members of Congress are official trustees presiding over the greatest reorganization of any bankrupt entity in the world history, the U.S. government. Now, if I'm going to look at any candidate, I'm going to look at the guy who's the slimiest asshole that can handle a bankruptcy.
Right.
Now, does that not make logical sense to you? But the problem is, nobody even knows the fucking United States is a corporation, let alone a bankrupt one that's been through three bankruptcies.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. I mean, I'm not going to vote, but if I was, it would be for Trump.
Again, you know, if you're going to vote for evil, then you're going to have to take evil's perspective, right? You're going to have to look at it. Don't look at the suits they're wearing, or especially don't look at the hair.
Right.
But look at what it is that you're voting for, even though your vote doesn't count. You gotta take the perspective of evil, and make no mistake, you're participating in evil, whether you're voting or not. If you're citizenship of this thing, you're in support of that thing. You're in liege fealty. You're in allegiance. You are a supporter of everything it does. It's all on you, all of you.
And people are proud. They're so proud to be a part of it.
Oh, patriot. Oh, love my country. So you got to look at it from evil's perspective. And from evil's perspective, honestly, I think Trump is the most qualified candidate. Not because he's going to have some talking points or be able to go talk to some foreign. No, because he's going to be, the president is presiding over a bankrupt fucking corporation. Simple as that.
That's right. And when did, because I personally sat down with James Traficant, I want to say maybe 2 years in a row, two summers in a row, because he attended this event in Pennsylvania, and he was a good guy. His speeches were very powerful, as you know, what you just read there was very, very powerful and spot on, and that's why he did time in jail, because he was telling the plebes what was going on. When was that speech that he gave?
That is congressional record, March 17th, 1993, volume 33, page H1303. Like I said, just type in the bankruptcy of the United States.
And that was around the time when people started hearing his name, Traficant's name. And, of course, the mainstream media or the state-run media was told to just start burying this guy, start killing this guy. He's a criminal. He's a bad guy. And, of course, that's what the media does to people that tell the truth, the people that are murderers and killers. And, you know, look at Mandela, him and his wife. They're, at, you know, just absolute, oh, Mandela, he's such a great man. Da, da, da. He was a terrorist. He was exactly what they're telling us now. We need to fight 100 to 500,000 year war against. Just such bullshit. So basically, the media says a person's good, they're probably a piece of shit, and if they say that they're bad, they're probably going to get their wings when they go wherever they're going.
So again, remember what are we electing? We're voting for a fictional title of a fictional person. You already stated Obama's real name, right? You're a fictional person, an artificial thing that's going to be assigned an artificial title of president or whatever it is that you're voting for, right? So again, what's the real problem? You're spending, you know, billions and billions of dollars. And you're spending all this time and all this debating over who should be the head of the fiction. What the hell's wrong with us?
Yeah. Well, most people, they're just like, this is all we got. This is America. And we've all been horribly, horribly deceived. But it's the best. You know, you'll hear from people. I don't agree. But, you know, This is the best system that we have here in the world. I wouldn't want to be born any other place. And to their credit, they have created this artificial reality that they've created this world. They've created the roads. They created everything around it so that they can live in it and do the things that they want to do as parasites over us. And that happens, and I mean, I'm sure that's happening in China. So if there is a war going on over in China, those elites will be fine. The commoners and subjects will be murdered and slaughtered. And then once it all clears up, they'll emerge from out of their seed vaults and have some sushi and.
I'll be honest, man. If I was invited to go into one of their vaults, their underground, I would absolutely not do that. I would face the tidal wave or the disease or the bomb head on, and thank God for it. Get me the fuck out of this horrific reality show.
Clint would stare down the warhead, man. He'd be like, "Here I am."
Count gone, take me away.
He'd be riding it like Slim Pickens in, what's
oh,
that?
Right, the, what is it?
How I grew to love the bomb.
Right, yeah. Yeah, Slim.
Yeah.
The problem with that speech that Jim Trafficant made was that there were no box scores or anything. Because unfortunately, that's the only thing that the male populace or large portions of the male populace even care shit about. They're either reading the box score, watching the game, or jerking off the fucking draft picks. That's pretty much it.
There was no betting pool, sports book to bet on who would have the best speech.
Right.
So I sent you a video clip, an audio clip, excuse me. Do you see that in this chat?
Okay, hold on.
I wanted you to play that because this really will tell you what is actually happening. We have to actually – so there's a positive and a negative aspect of the dollar or any currency out there that is fiat that doesn't have anything necessarily – backing it. So, and when I say that, I don't mean, I don't even mean a gold coin that's 90% gold and 10% something else. That's actually called seniorage, which means that we spend the coin that's 90% gold or silver, and every time it's spent, there's a 10% tax because it's a cheaper metal. That metal's not there to make the coin stronger. It's there as what's called seniorage, as a tax. And if you look at the U.S. Mint CAFRs, their annual reports, financial reports, you'll see that they have millions and millions of dollars in seniorage or tax. That is, so that's the purpose of having that extra metal in the coin. It's a tax. It's a development cost. Like, also, we're still making pennies, and they cost like 2 cents to print a penny. Well, that's called seniorage. It's the production cost of the actual production of the thing. So for every penny they make, they're making a penny instantly.
The processing fee.
And they actually report about a 50% seniorage for every dollar that's made. So right away, you have essentially a 50% debt on the dollar, and then it goes out and it creates taxation. By the end of the week, it's created more than its face value in tax that has to be, of course, spent with another new created dollar or with credit. And that's what we're dealing with, is debt on what the dollar actually creates through its usury. And this is why usury is so looked down upon in every religion, except, of course, what Rabbi Greg's religion of Judaism. So, I wanted you to play this clip because this is a multi-billionaire who actually explains the value of debt. These guys in high places, they're not interested in money. We are like fish going after a worm when it comes to money. These guys don't give a shit about money. In fact, they'd rather have the negative aspect of money, which is the debt. And as I was going through all these comprehensive annual financial reports, the thing that nobody ever talks about, of course, they only look at the budget report, you see that government is the main investor in debt. Debt, 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 everything. All its investments are debt instruments, which means they're giving corporations corporate bonds, which are low-interest loans, and they list that as an asset of money that will eventually come back into the government. It's not money on hand. It's not something liquidatable. It's money that will. So most of the government's assets are debt assets. This is, of course, aside from all the stocks and everything else. But even those are really debt instruments because you don't actually have the value in your hand. You don't have cash or gold or whatever in your hands. You have a value that, you know, any one of those stocks could go to zero tomorrow. So it's really a worthless asset until it's actually cashed in. And that's basically what the government is sitting on. Government is the main investor in debt. And you're talking trillions upon trillions upon trillions when it comes to derivatives and all this other shit. So I want you to play this interview because this shows you, one, it shows you the mindset of this elite class when it comes to money, because again, they don't give a shit about money. They care about debt and what you can do with the debt. Second, you hear this lady questioning him And, I mean, honestly, she has no clue what he's saying because she's so trained to go after the positive aspect of the dollar, the profit aspect, that she can't even possibly imagine that the real value of the dollar, what has built up the entire infrastructure of America, what has paid for our military conquest, and built up the infrastructures of China, which mostly those are American corporations. So when we say things are made in China, they're actually made by American corporations that are funded by taxpayer dollars in China. So we're not actually buying from China. We're buying from an enslaved place, you know, where child labor is prevalent. And Martha Stewart puts her face on the child labor-made products. And we say, oh, I love Martha. Right? That is the reality of things. So this really shows you how these guys think in terms of the financial markets and how important it is to do exactly what they've done, which is to raise the debt so high that it cannot be paid, so that it's going to be literally a jubilee where all the debt is forgiven. And these guys are walking away with what, you know, if I borrow $1 million and I buy something with that $1 million and then my debt to pay back that $1 million is forgiven, well, I still have $1 million worth of shit over, stuff over here, but I don't have to pay anything for it. And that's exactly what's going to happen. So if you don't mind.
Yeah, I've got it. I got it lined up.
It's only about 5 minutes.
Yep. Here you go.
He is the best-selling author of Rich Dad Poor. Our guest today is the best-selling author of Rich Dad Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki. He also has a new book coming out this month, Second Chance for Your Money, Life, and Our World. We'll also be asking him, will gold get a second chance in 2015? Robert, good to have you back on the show.
Well, first of all, thank you for being interviewing me. This is my latest book. It comes out officially in January of 2015. It's called The Second Chance. And what this book is about is how I predict the future. And it's in three parts. And when you read this book, you'll definitely want to buy some gold and some silver and all that. So the thing I like about Second Chance is for those of you who are, I made it simple as possible. I use charts. You can see what's happening here is the decline of the dollar. You can see here quantitative easing. So I made it so that a kid could understand it. This is probably the most important picture of why you should buy gold. This is a picture here of a German sweeping the streets in 1923 of the Reichsmark. That's the future of the dollar. It's going to be trash. Cash will become trash. So what's the future of gold? Very good.
So, Robert, last year, you were part of our successful Invest Like the Expert series where we said if we gave you $10,000, how you would invest it. This year, we asked our experts how they would invest $100,000. So what are you liking this year so far?
Okay, I want you to look at this article here. This is The Economist, October 25th, 2014. It says right here, the world's biggest economic problem, quote unquote, the euro will collapse. So when the euro collapses, it means the dollar will collapse soon thereafter. So that's what this book, Second Chance, is about. So the question you ask me is, what would I invest in? I really never changed. It's when the market started crashing in 2007, I borrowed nearly $500 million, $500 million in debt. You see, when currency collapses, then debt becomes valuable. So what happened is I borrowed $500 million through my partnerships and all this other stuff. That wasn't all of them, my money. So debt makes you rich and crashes. So it's a completely opposite of contrarian. It's not more than contrarian, it's opposite. So what happened just recently, that $500,000 in debt was floating at 5% interest. They just reduced it down to 2.5% interest. So I made another $10 million a year because they revalued my debt. So everything I do was opposite. Again, this is why Rich Dad Poor Dad said, your house is not an asset. And I said, savers or losers.
Many advisors I've spoken to, Robert, suggest holding 5 to 10% of your portfolio in gold. Do you agree? Do you hold more?
No, I have a lot of gold, but I don't believe in percentages. I believe in watching the market. I try to tell you guys something. You see, the problem with gold, I hate to say this to you, is when I spend gold, when I redeem gold, I'm taxed at 33%. That's really high, but I've invested. So I hold gold not as an investment. I hold it just in case, which I think it will happen, is the dollar, the yen, the euro, and the pound will collapse. So I'm not holding it as an investment. I hold it as an insurance policy.
And you like holding it in a physical form?
In very far away places, yes.
All right. And what about equities? What are your thoughts?
Part three of this book is what really is financial education, and it's to get out of the stock market. Hear what I'm saying? Don't invest in stocks. Don't invest in gold ETFs or silver ETFs. You've really got to start getting real pretty soon.
So besides gold, what are you liking?
Debt. You know what I'm saying? You've been programmed to say debt is bad. Debt is wonderful if you know how to invest it. I'm going to pay my debt back with cheap dollars.
You speak with such passion.
Because I have a hard time talking to people who went to school. You know, because you probably think saving money is smart. You probably think having a job is smart. You probably think getting out of debt is smart. I'm exactly opposite. And that's why I said everything's in part three of this book. It's opposite.
But it's easier said than done, Robert. How do you find opportunity?
You have to go to school, but not the stupid schools that people go to. I take investment courses all the time. I do real estate investment courses. I attend gold investment courses. I invest a lot of money in oil and gas. And now that the price of oil is dropping, it's the time to buy. I don't invest in Standard Oil or Exxon. I invest in the land that the oil is on.
Robert, thanks for speaking with us today. It's clear you like gold.
Gold is a hedge. It's not an investment. It's a difference. Buying gold's like buying insurance. Okay, that's a very big difference. I use debt to get rich.
All right. Thanks for your thoughts today, and thanks for watching. You can email us comments and questions at newsfeedback@kitco.com.
It's literally the devil. That is the devil revealing his plans, and he's literally calling us out, Charlie.
Yep.
He's calling us out for going to public schools and being public-minded and constantly being concerned about paying off debts and being where the real value is, where the real wealth is going to be made are by assholes like this who invest in other people's debt, who are literally the usurers, the true people who've caused this usurious program to... I mean, that guy just revealed the entire scheme. And this chick, he's literally telling you, you are a complete nincompoop. You are such an idiot because you're not listening to what... If you notice, she could not get her head around what he was saying.
Nope. She's got a script and she's sticking to it.
They don't... It's like talking to people in the conspiracy world about the fact that we live in a legalistic system and that they don't know who they are. They think that they can be patriotic or can make difference by, exposing or
voting.
creating nonsense regarding various events like September 11th or others, that they can make a difference when they're just enveloping themselves in busyness. And
busy, though.
Right. And that's, hey, listen, that's
no, it's just like that.
The business of America is keeping busy, right?
Keeping themselves busy.
That's why they gave us computers, if you really think about it, because the computer virus is us. You know, as long as we don't produce anything anymore. That's what we play with computers.
Yeah.
There's no production in that.
Right. The computer virus is touching the keyboard.
Yes, we are the computer virus.
That's right. Right.
In essence, all of us, they've made us the virus.
Well, they just continue that. I mean, we've gone into these garbage schools, which a lot of people still to this day have some – they have this allegiance to it. I mean, you saw it when Villanova won the NCAA championship. They're just like, and they're just absolute brain-dead zombies, They go to school and basically that's what it is. They're keeping you busy so that you do not figure out how the system works. It's their agenda. It's their teachers' association. It's their teachers' setup. They create the what they call the curriculum. And then even past that, when you start to figure out, they've also had that configured so that you waste your time. And I'll say I wasted my time, quite a bit. I was never really a fan of the schooling system. I would go in there, and the first day that I got there, I was like, how the fuck do I get out of this? How do I don't want to take a nap. I don't want to eat cookies when you say I can eat cookies. Okay? I don't want to be part of this. And I didn't want to be part of it back then. And right now I'm just, in my life I'm just kind of going through the motions. And then, of course, realizing, through the help of, along my personal journey, meeting, getting onto Oracle, meeting people like Greg, and then Greg, again, reaching out to Clint and saying, hey, this Clint, he's got a lot of good things he's saying. I like what this guy's saying. I like what he's saying. And then here we are today. So we really are truly blessed. And
I like this, man. I like this what Greg said, that we are the virus. So you take that, you can make a movie about this or a novel where, what would be the worst thing as far as God's wrath? What would be the worst thing that God could do to us? Well, it would be to allow an artificial intelligence to develop from our internet activity, which would make a porn addict a jackass that likes to do stupid things, and what else? I mean, it would be like the worst possible artificial intelligence that would be created in this singularity they keep talking about. It would be a mirror image of all of us. And what's most popular on the internet is pure shit, pure absolute disgustingness. So that, maybe that is what we deserve, is to have this artificial intelligence. Maybe that is retribution. Maybe that is the
Did someone say God? Did someone say Clint, you are one of my greatest creations. Greg, you as well. Shall not so much. But, I think of different ways, movies and things that could be created that could, because let's face it, that's the only thing that opens the minds of people. They want to be entertained. They want the entrainment through the entertainment. You got all these people that, when Star Wars came out, they're sitting there touching themselves. They can't wait to see all the new, rebels and the new villains. Actually, I think that they probably side more with the villains than they do with the rebels that are fighting for their freedom against, the evil empire. That's Clint, after the book, some short films.
After the book. It's ever going to end at this point.
What's that?
I said I don't think it's ever going to end.
Right.
Let me, since some people just came a little when you mentioned Star Wars, let's talk about what we don't notice in the Star Wars franchise. Let me read you a little something. This is the Declaration of a New Order, a proclamation by Supreme Chancellor Palpatine. Palpatine, as an extraordinary session of the Galactic Senate and to the general populace, proclaiming himself Emperor of the Galaxy from the science fiction movie series Star Wars. I'm just going to read a little bit of his speech. I don't think anybody noticed what the hell this guy was saying and how it mimics what we're seeing today. We stand on the threshold of a new beginning. In order to ensure our security and continuing stability, the Republic will be reorganized into the first galactic empire. Just put United Nations on that, you got it. For a safe and secure society, which I assure you will last for 10,000 years. An empire that will continue to be ruled by this august body, and a sovereign ruler chosen for life. An empire ruled by the majority, ruled by a new constitution. by bringing the entire galaxy under one law, one language, and the enlightened guidance of one individual, the corruption that plagued the Republic in the later years, will never take root. Regional governors will eliminate the bureaucracy that allowed the separatist movement to grow unchecked. A strong and growing military will ensure the rule of law. Under the Empire's new order, our most cherished beliefs will be safeguarded. We will defend our ideas by force of arms. We will give no ground to our enemies and will stand together against attacks from within and without. Let the enemies of the Empire take heed. Those who challenge Imperial resolve will be crushed. So, how many people can listen to that and not freaking, I mean, obviously 100%. How many people can listen to that and not take that and say, oh, hey, that could have been our president or the Pope speaking? How many people actually listen to that and think, oh, that's just science fiction, because they have no fucking clue what's happening in the world?
No, it is very and if you have that somewhere, send me that link, man, because I'm going to read that to some of these clowns that that just live. I said the other day, I said, you know what? I haven't even seen the Star Wars movie yet. And they're like, come on, really? I'm like, no. I'm going to watch it on my time, see? Mine.
Well, you know, when I found out that Han Solo was just a Jewish carpenter that they, you know, put up there.
Is that right? Was he supposedly a... Because I know he was in... I think he was in American Graffiti, and then he was in that movie Heroes with Henry Winkler, the Fonz, the guy, the Jewish guy who played an Italian... motorcycle rider, and it's all bullshit, and it's bad for you, like Georgie said.
They do expose it to you through there.
That's true.
That's one of their ways to do it. But
well,
I don't know. It's you kind of look at it and say, well, I wish they would kind of get it over with, because.
Yeah, right? I mean, just do it, you assholes.
Yeah, what are they waiting for? Why didn't they do this, you know, years ago? Why it's like they're dragging it out.
That's what I said. Like, why have they waited so long? I mean, people had more of a clue back then, but I think that they would have been totally subservient to all of it just as, you know, almost as much as it's going to be today.
Well, I think they have to wait for certain people to sort of come along. There are certain members of the bloodline that have to get their proverbial acts together that haven't done it quite yet.
The forest in Japan.
Some people believe it's a gateway to the other side.
Spirits cannot rest there.
What was that?
Up that link you wanted to
do. I got it. Yeah, that's cool. Because I'm gonna print that out or do something with it and make a scene. You're causing a scene. I know. It's what I do best.
I was just interrupting Greg, you know. That's all I was.
Just interrupting me?
We got, yeah, you're right. There are people. I'm sure that there's people out there that have a... that they're not down with they're not down with the sickness, and they need to.
Are you talking about elites, or are you talking about?
Yeah, like
Congress?
You said, that there's
the no, they're down with the sickness. Don't get me wrong. They're just not ready. Right. They have to acquire a few more, you know, debt. So they're in the wrong thing. You see, you know, like. What's going to happen is when they reset the system, it's going to be through a deflationary event, right? So, yeah, you could buy up stuff and get it for free, but how much is it going to – it's going to be a zero-sum game. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be now they're going to own everything. They already do. So but there are certain members of certain families that have to be taken care of, so to speak. They have to – now this group is going to have control of this sector. It's going to be like a royal bloodline shift kind of a thing, you know. The pirates are still going to be given their territory, and the monarchies are still going to be given theirs. There's just some divvying up and slicing of the pie that hasn't been completed yet, because it's a slow process.
So, in other words, regional governors will eliminate the bureaucracy that allowed the separatist movement to grow unchecked.
That's right.
There you go.
And when
does they'll give everybody a vote, so they'll give everybody a suggestion box, the illusion, and that, you know, the Jedi will fight on for democracy.
And when do the Hunger Games start? That's all that most people that survive the, you know, the separatist flushing of the separatist. That's the only thing that they'll want to know about is the Hunger Games. When do the Hunger Games start? And hope that they're not picked.
Here we are again, back to the same equation. You know, we're the only reason this is affecting any of us is because we're dependent on fiction. If we weren't, if we actually were self-efficient, then there'd be none of this would matter. You could watch the world go, you know, sink itself, the world, the aspects of man, and you could just say, well, That's about what I expected, you know. Bravo, that was well done, but it wouldn't affect you, and that's the thing I keep trying to explain to people is like this only affects you if you respect it.
Yes, of course. That's why I try to tell people we have to be Christ-like. It's the I want a solution. the solution is you and contract yourself. I have no idea. They want to think that. Well, I'll go out and buy, you know, like gold and silver. I'll go do this or that, and this will get me through. Well, maybe it will because the system isn't going to go away. It's going to be reset, and it's going to be reshuffled. So they're going to get rid of unfunded liabilities if you are part of the system. I don't think the system's going to go away. It's not, you know, they're going to reset it.
Greg, listen to me and listen to me well. Those who challenge imperial resolve will be crushed.
I think it's pretty clear, Greg.
It's very clear. But so the trick is, well, if I'm self-sufficient, I don't really need to challenge, then they'll leave me the fuck alone.
Well, Clint, what's happened is over a number of years, it's the annihilation of self-preservation. It really truly is that. And, you know, if the power grid did go off and the television stopped running, and Greg has made a lot of good points to that in the past, that they need that television to continue to go so that people will continue to, because that is the reason, that television is the reason why, or one of the main reasons why we are, you know, the population is so brainwashed. So, you know, this whole them talking about the power grid going down or these the solar flares coming, which is entirely possible. And I mean, the Earth, I mean, the sun's only about 3,000 miles away or something, according to NASA.
Possibly.
But actually, no, it's like a gazillion, quadrillion miles away. But it's so hot. I can't imagine something that's that far away being so hot that makes me be like, stop making me hot.
I want to just put my scientific theory in the boat here. There's no heat coming from the sun. It's radiation. And when the radiation hits, it's kind of like when you hold a magnifying glass up and you burn the ants, which I don't do, but I, you know.
You've done it once.
Whatever the atmosphere is around is like a magnifying glass. It takes the radiation and heats it up in a perfect way to sustain life. I don't think there's heat coming from the sun. That's
That is a good point. It just feels really hot sometimes, and I don't like it. But I like what it gives. I like that the sun gives life, the UVA, UVB. But what I don't like is when they spray things in the sky that block the UVB, and I can't create any vitamin D, and then something else horrible happens inside my body. That's what I don't like.
Well, yeah, and then somehow you exactly. But you somehow you get right outside of the Earth's atmosphere, and it's, what, 200 degrees below. Where's the
heat? Yeah, see?
It's the heat. What's going on?
Yeah, something's going on. Maybe it's the, what did the Bible call it? They called it the dome. I forget what they called it. That guy says it all the time. Like the, it's a specific name, a biblical name for a dome. But that couldn't possibly be up there. But yeah, that is quite amazing there because it's so cold and there is no oxygen. But it's cold there, but then it's hot here. It's whatever it is. It's amazing. And I don't trust NASA anymore because they're full of shit. But of course now I'm probably going to take a hit for that, saying that if somebody should, one of the non-believers, you know, one of the non-separatists hears this and they'll be like, what are you saying now, man? First 9/11, now something else. I can't handle this.
You must be a flat earther.
Well,
yeah, don't you know the world is flat and there were no planes and people didn't die.
Right, yeah, that's...
And all this stuff. And everything is faked and they don't want the lawsuits and blah, blah, blah.
The guy was caught in a shitstorm one night when he got on a call with a bunch of people and they were like, what, are you crazy? Nobody even died in 9/11. And Gray was like, what?
And then Charlie,
you got to hear this, dude. You got to hear this.
So, but to go against such things is to go against the Vatican.
That's right. And they took in about 8 families today, so they got to be good.
Took in 8 families.
Yeah, yeah. He flew somewhere, you know, Popey. He flew over there, and then I forget exactly where he was, you know, his trips with all the money that the stupid idiots fucking give the Catholic Church and all these other. You know, what Greg calls the Vic. And so he goes over there and he sees these families, you know, these immigrants and stuff, and then he puts them on the Vada plane, and then he's taking them back to the dungeon where he's going to eat their liver with fava beans. I don't know, but something bad's going to happen to them. And but it's a good show. It's a nice show.
You know what Catholic actually means?
Universal.
So if you think about that, and you think that Christianity started with the Roman Church, in other words, the title of Christian, not the actual actions, but the title, the flattering title of Christian, and you think every church, every Christian church out there, well, that obviously the word comes from Rome, and then every church is just a denomination, which means the name, a different name of the same universal church.
Right.
Start putting these pieces together, and you start to realize, yeah, we are universal Christians. We're Catholic universal Christians, no matter what church we go to. All you know, whatever nation you're born in, because it's a Christian nation, everybody's a Christian, whether you're a Christian or not, in your mind. That's the whole point, is that they created these nations to be ethnically Christian. By ethnic, I mean by language, not by skin color or anything. So, I mean, if you think about it and you start putting these pieces together, you realize we're all under the Vatican. We're all under the universal church. And that's, I think, what they're trying to establish in the United Nations and all that, is that that reconnection of a mental reconnection, not political, but that's already there, but the mental connection to the universality of the church. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, guys, if the only way they can do that is to give us aliens or give us, I don't know, something like that Project Bluebeam or something, where everybody is sort of, you know, something is going to happen to bring on. Because you can't have a nation, you can't have a universal nation or a universal world without a universe. You have to have a uniting state and church. There's no such thing as having a state without a church or vice versa. It just doesn't exist. So you have that something's got to happen to bring the focus of all of us, whether we believe it or not, or whether, as long as we respect it, just like we respect the money and the debt and all that shit, as long as we respect the fact that this historical thing happened or whatever, there's got to be something that brings us all back mentally towards that universality of church and state under one supreme emperor.
Khan. the wrath of Khan. He's going to come back, and then we're all going to join together, join hands, and we'll.
It has to be respected, whether you hate it, love it, believe it or not. We all respect that there's a president of the United States, whether we say we do or not. We respect it, right? We respect that there's a pope, whether we hate it or call it a fraud. We're respecting it, and that's the point. You're respecting it regardless of your attitude towards it. You're still respecting the authority of it, and that's the problem.
Right? Yeah. Just like the authority, the money. You know, money is freedom, but that's the sickness.
Freedom is franchise. Franchise is slavery.
Indeed. So with the impending doom of an economic collapse, and then of course war to go along with that as a side dish, it could be a slow thing, you know, like a Hunger Games type society. I think that they could do it very slowly, but then I've always said at some point they're just gonna kill a lot of people. They're just gonna kill a lot of people in some way, somehow, and it could be the, you know, just turning all the cell phone towers on, emitting the frequency that starts unfolding the prions, and then we literally have the zombie, you know. Just walking around, being like, you know, zombies.
They have their, you know, they've been building their own cell towers, their own basically personal, private internet and communications network. It's called FirstNet. If you want to look that up, you can.
That's what the police will communicate on outside of the subject commoner internet.
And so it's destined to reach every square yard or square foot of America, even in the most remotest part of the Alaskan forest. It's gonna, and if you're in a basement or you're in, you know, it's gonna reach everywhere. That's their stated goal is that everything will be connected at that point through this FirstNet system. So, you know, you think about that. Well, there'd be no record then of them doing what you just said. There'd be no record of the tracking, of the spying and all of that shit. In other words, that private system can do anything that it wants to, and it won't be under public purview. So that's in and of itself is scary, but of course they sell it as FirstNet, which is the first responders net, and it's going to be good for us because then, you know, wherever we are, we can call for help and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Unbelievable.
Okay. Which is, you know, this is totally, we're speculating, but at the same time, the research that Clint has done, I am a third of the researcher, and so it really, you know, these things really start to make sense, you know, especially when you were talking about the brain bug and how these insects get bitten and then they just kind of, it's like the vampire that you see in the movies where the vampire will bite someone. And then that person becomes like a slave of the vampire. Like, you know, at any moment, all the vampire has to do is say, you come here, and then they show up. And, you know, like that type of kind of.
I've thought about that. And everybody says, oh, the vampire bites you and sucks your blood, and that's it. But obviously, that has to be some kind of parasite, right? I mean, it has to be some. Injecting into your blood, not just sucking your blood, right? That the whole thing doesn't make sense. It would just be magic. I'm magically controlling you, but really, a vampire would actually be like a wasp stinging a bug and delivering a parasite that would connect with its host,
which is documented.
Which is what most science fiction movies are about, actually. You know, you kill the mother. And you kill the parasites, right? The parasite can't exist without the mother.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. You think about these things, and even though the notion of an empire is actually a real thing from the way back when, vampires, werewolves, and all that shit actually have a very real aspect. And, you know, the word werewolf, for instance, were means man, and wolf, of course, is the head of a wolf. They call us animals when we are not part of the society. They call us outlaws or animals, wild. And so what they used to call the werewolf was the man with the head of a wolf, meaning that he was an outlaw and he didn't actually follow the law. So you told scary stories about the werewolves out there who were actually free men that did not subscribe to the laws of a society. Whether they were savages or not savages, that's, you know, your own opinion. But that's where the origin of werewolf. You can look it up. It's in Black's Law Dictionary, the word were, W-E-R-E. I mean, you find all this shit, and you can find vampire, you can find vamp and pyre, P-Y-R-E, and you figure out, you start figuring out all this bullshit is simply there to keep us afraid of being free of their grasp, of their government.
Indeed. And now we have, we have our zombies, we have vampire movies still, but we've been, and I've seen every Hunger Game movie except for the last one. There is that series that's called Divergent. I don't know if you've seen any of that stuff, but that's very interesting where they break people down. And if you're not part of this group, you know, that you'll go to this almost like a graduation and they become, you become this particular person in society or this particular person. But if you're divergent, which means that you have all four or five of these specific traits, then you are fucking dangerous and you need to be controlled because then you'll be like you'll be a separatist because you realize that, you know, that we shouldn't be collectivized and only be doing that one thing. Plus they've got this Maze Runner series that's been out there now. Where they've had, I think there's been two of them. I've seen them because I kind of want to see where they're projecting these movies at the young populace. They're projecting that into the teenagers, the youngsters, and so I wanted to see. That's what kind of drew me in with the Hunger Games and things like that. And of course, it is about, I mean, any time you can look at this and say, when I saw the first Hunger Games movie and then they all go out there, they all rush to the center of this field where they grab their weapons and they're just killing each other. And I'm like, whoa, this is like mega violent. And it's like, that's what they're selling to. You know, that's what they're selling to. They're like, you know, this is death. This is murder. This is killing. This is what your future is. Welcome to your future.
What they're really selling, Charlie, that is that's the growing pains of what we're going to have to go through. But I think what they're really selling is the Star Trek model. Mm-hmm. The castless society, you know, that worships the military, but the military's been made into a scientific, you know. So if you think about the Star Trek model, I think that's probably the worst thing that we... But they're portraying it as good. When we actually look into the real origins of these characters they create, my favorite thing that the Star Trek franchise created, because it really lets you know their true intent, who they are, you know, obviously they're elitists that are creating this, is the word Borg. You know, it comes from bourgeoisie, of course. But Borg... In the Saxon law, and this is again Black's fourth dictionary, in the Saxon law, the Borg was a pledge or a pledge giver or a surety. Okay, that's us. The name given among the Saxons to the head of each family composing a tithing or a decenary, in other words, a taxpayer, each being the pledge for the good conduct of the others. Also the contract or engagement of suretyship, which is citizenship, and the public citizenship, United States citizenship, and the pledge given. So literally they portrayed the enemy, the worst possible enemy of all, when, and I'm not sure they were incorrect in their assessments, but was the Borg, was the common bourgeois, was the common middle class, basically equality, what we have today as the idiocracy that we call the citizenship of the United States. We are the Borg. So what they were portraying in Star Trek was basically the elite, you know, the same thing, you know, the Empire versus the Borg. And the Borg is just so overwhelming because there's so many of us, and everywhere we go, we create more Borg, right? We take over countries or planets, and we create more Borg by assimilating them into our culture, and our culture is one of degradation and pure corruption.
Yeah.
That is the true reality of these shows and these movies and this science fiction that we worship. These guys aren't, they're not giving you enlightenment. They're giving you, they're, you understand what I'm trying to say. Yeah. They're assholes. They're creating characters about us that are, you know, that we actually root for them to destroy. That we literally root for them to destroy us in these Borg Star Trek movies.
We are the virus. Agent Smith said it. He said, humans are a virus. I mean, again, right there, they're telling us what we are.
All perspective. Where's Greg?
Greg, where are you?
I'm right here.
Hey! So, Greg, if you could give a time frame on, and I know this has been going on for a long time, people have been given time frames, but I mean, I think we really are at the point of where we're going to see the financial crisis, at some point this year.
And yeah, I think it's probably, we're in the midst of it now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, with the price of commodities, because there's surplus, there's excess capacity all over the place, how long the jimmying of the market can continue, it's, you know, really at this point, it's anybody's guess. I don't think too much longer, perhaps, you know, throughout the remainder of the year into the early part of next year.
We have another summer, maybe, you know, get to celebrate another July 4th independence from the British Empire. You know, that.
I'm sure that'll happen. They got to keep the illusion going, yeah.
But
you guys got this quote from the Bank for International Settlements, and Executive William White. He was in Davos. And he was talking about the world's financial condition. He's a executive for the Bank of International Settlements. He said just recently, he said, the situation is worse than it was in 2007. Our macroeconomic ammunition to fight downturns is essentially all used up. In other words, they've used all the bullshit tricks they know. Quantitative easing and all that shit. Emerging markets were part of the solution after the Lehman crisis, Lehman Brothers banks. Now they are part of the problem, of course. Debts have continued to build up over the last 8 years, and they have reached such levels in every part of the world that they have become a potent cause for mischief, he said. It will become obvious in the next recession that many of these debts will never be serviced or repaid. And this will be uncomfortable for a lot of people who think they own assets that are worth something. That's all of you retirees who are gathering pensions, etc. The only question, he says, is whether we are able to look reality in the eye and face what is coming in an orderly fashion, or whether it will be disorderly. And here's the most important thing of what he's saying, and you should really pay attention to this. Debt jubilees have been going on for 5,000 years, as far back as the Sumerians. So that's a biblical reference to those who call themselves Jews but are not, the synagogue of Satan, using their usurious system against us for over 5,000 years and then forgiving their own debts. That's exactly what that previous guy was talking about. That's why he's investing. That's why government's investing in all the debt, because they know, I mean, for God's sake, who's going to forgive the debt but themselves? So they're going to invest in debt, in debt, in debt. Meanwhile, you guys are all going to be looking for ways to make money by investing in stocks and bonds and all these, you know, keeping cash and all of that. It's just, I mean, the whole thing's just going to be obliterated, and yet these guys are going to have all the assets. And if we want to use the assets, the infrastructure, and all that shit, we're going to have to return in our gold, just as he said, it's a hedge. We have to return in whatever gold or assets we have so that it's all under their control. So we're basically saving our gold, making a golden calf out of it, and then returning the gold to rebuy into the new system. That's exactly what they want us to do.
Wash, rinse, repeat. That's what they keep doing over and over again, and they will continue to do that.
I have no doubt.
Yep.
This thing's crashed.
It works great for them. It's, you know, why would they change it?
And Davos is basically like the Bilderberg group, but like out in the open.
No, Davos is just a meeting they have every year.
Well,
it's
an economic summit, the Davos summit
that they have in Davos, Switzerland.
Well, I mean, they've been building up, they've been militarizing the police, that we saw that with Ferguson.
They'll turn all that off after. That's just for now.
I mean, they're not going to plunk me on the head with a tank?
They want you to think they will. That's part of it, is to want you to think it will. It's because when they do whatever it is, war, alien invasion, whatever it is, in that unifying thing that brings us together but also leads to the thinning or what I like to call just terminating the unfunded liabilities, okay, because that's really all we are. We're a human resource to these people. That's it. And what does any company do with its excess labor, unfunded liabilities? They terminate them. So
I feel used.
Yeah, so they will. That's really what the clearing is going to do. How they do that? Do they do that with bombs? Do they do it with bugs?
Right. What's going to happen to the regular business, like a regular businessman who has like a small to medium sized company? Is that it for the small businessman? Is it irregular?
There is no regular business. They're all irregular because they're dependent on this system. If you have a business where you have cattle and you trade it for vegetables, that would be a regular business. But these businesses are all incorporated. They're in the money system, the mammon system. They will do exactly what the people the government, who they're incorporated and registered with, tell them to do. That's the only way they can stay in business, or they'll just fail. Because they're not regular. They're not part of the natural order. They're not a free market. They are literally all registered in government. Government owns all businesses. Business.
Got about 30 seconds. So what did Palpatine say? All dissent will be smashed?
Jeez. You will be crushed, young Skywalker.
You killed my father.
Go out and show no mercy, young Skywalker.
Talk about their history, how everything went to shit before it all ever got to be the Star Trek model. So you expect a lot of shit. Expect that new world model.
Clearly. All right, stand in line, guys. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for being here.
Try to stop them. Don't put that on your wish list. That's retarded babble. Protesters make the hit list soon as they start to rabble. Fear nothing but fishes in the barrel. It doesn't have to be Christmas for a carol. Some decorate with ornamental decorum. Some perform shock and awe on Hanukkah and Purim. That's where my job come in. I am a blessing to the mercenary. For the corporation selling weapons to them. Any potential competitor step into them. I'm authorized to knock them out and stick a GPS.